Our scripture comes from 2 Peter 1:16 through 21 and Matthew 17:1-9. Hear from the words of Peter this morning as he tells us words that remind us of Jesus Christ, as he reminds us that he was an eyewitness. Now, as we hear these words, remember that he was on that mountaintop with Jesus when he transformed, when he transfigured, when the glory shone from him, shone from Jesus Christ. So as I read this morning, imagine this. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy had never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters. One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful for your glory. And it shines brightly today. If we but have the eyes to see. Lord, may we have the ears to hear today, in spite of my voice. May we have the heart to feel today. And may we have the whole to encompass your love. You shine with glory in our hearts today, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I am excited today. For me, this was a kickoff way back when. It was a kind of a moment in my mind of when Jesus kind of kick-started Peter and James and John. Oh, he had already been ministering and shaping and getting them ready. He'd already selected the 12. But then he started doing some fine tuning. Do you ever do some fine tuning? You know, fine tuning happens in different ways. Did you ever take some of your children or your nieces and nephews, or maybe if you were a teacher, you took some little small groups and you started working with them individually. Maybe there was something you wanted them to particularly know. Or maybe something that you wanted to particularly shape and know, right? And you wanted them to grasp a concept a little bit more. We know that Peter was going to have the church built on him, because we know that Jesus called him Cephas, the rock. Peter, the rock. Peter was going to eventually be the one who preaches the very first sermon after the flames, the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. We know that John is the beloved who's going to care for Jesus' mother. And we know that James is going to go out to India and love the people there. They're all going to have a destiny and shape the world. But at this moment, Jesus is allowing them to see something more. They're allowing a glimpse into the heavens where God is coming down and opening the heavens and shining God's glory. And God's glory is shining out of Jesus. So bright that it's like the sun shining out of him. Now, I can't imagine what that looks like. But I know what it's like to see bright lights, And I know what it's like to look at the sunshine, and I know what it's like to stand on a stage and have bright lights shine on me. And I know what it's like to worship my Lord. Well, this worship was so intense, and they heard the word of God's voice. And it hit their hearts so much that they couldn't help but fall on their knees and worship. They fell on their knees and worshiped. Have you ever felt such intense worship in your life that you couldn't help envelop that in your life? I bet you have had feelings in your life that have been in that intense, whether it's been worship or not. Sometimes it's joy when you've held a newborn baby. Maybe when you've been present at a wedding or a marriage, or you've seen one of your children get married. Maybe it's when you've lost a loved one. I know that a few years ago, I've been present in a lot of those things. You see, that's kind of what the church does. My kids were always real good at making sure I showed up at those things. One year, Daniel knew I had just been to bed, and he was gone to bed, and John was at seminary. And I had heard the fire whistles go, but I didn't know that they were coming to my street. And here, a young teenage girl had tried to take her life. You see, she didn't see the glory anymore in living. And all of a sudden, Daniel came through my bedroom door, and the door slams open. He says, "Mom, you got to get up, and you got to go now. Got to go now, Mom. Get dressed and go now." Of course, I'm half asleep, and I'm saying, "Okay, where am I going?" He says, "You got to go down the street. You got to go now. Tell me what's going on. There's a family down the street." Of course, Daniel is Daniel. You've met my son. Daniel's friends with everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. And this family was kind of rough. And he already knew what was going on because he was friends with the boys. And in the gap, as the parents were standing there, I ended up standing there holding their hands and praying with them as we watched the paramedics do everything they could to save her life. And God saved her life that night. This week, unfortunately, a house burned down. And three people lost their lives. We don't know. We never know what's going to happen. And there are ups and there are downs in life. And, you know, we get caught. We see the best. If the church is doing what the church is called to do, we see the best of things in life and we see the worst of things in life. But we hold to the hand of the one who has the glory, because all glory comes from him. I was reading a book this last couple weeks, and I love to read. And it was from the author of the same book that Dr. Dixon read a book 2 years ago. and all this work that she's been doing. And it was because of the love of this community. The greater community and the community of faith. And because of this, I read about the autopsy of a church that revitalizes. And the foreword starts about a man who comes about because of the autopsy of a deceased church. Now, I've been part of those too, and those are tough. Those were like showing up to a funeral for a church. And the man came to the book signing and said, "You should have written one for a church that revitalizes and taught us how to do that." And it starts with welcoming and loving and meeting people right where they are. And helping others know and holding their hands in the gaps, celebrating the joys of life. And in the pain and the hurt of life, and seeing God's glory and everything in between. So I have a question for you. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Yesterday was Valentine's Day. And this week starts Lent. And we are in this process of thinking about transforming ourselves. But we're always in a process of transforming. We've never stayed the same. If we were, we would still be infants, right? So, when's the last time that you have entered into a moment of experiencing the glory and the love of Jesus Christ? As you think about all that Jesus has done and is doing, because he hasn't stopped. But maybe you stopped looking. See, I mentioned that fire that happened this week, and it was quite, it was bad. It was horrible. Three people literally lost their lives on the street that I lived on. You can look it up. It's in Clymer, Pennsylvania. It's outside of Indiana, PA. And in the meantime, the community has rallied around the survivors. They have shown up. The love of Jesus Christ has shown up. They understand hurt and pain. and they understand love. That's where the glory of the Lord is. So when the bad times happen, the love is there. When the good times happen, the love is there. And every time in between, the love is there. That's what being the church is about. Did you know that Amish don't call their church the church? They call it the community. And that's for a reason. Because their community is about being a community of faith. We need to be about engulfing each other in community and love. Who have you engulfed in the glory of the Lord lately? In love? Brought him in or her into the light and embraced? Let us pray. Lord, you certainly are majesty. And as Peter preached as being an eyewitness, that mountaintop experience is within reach. But we have to reach out for you. And we have to reach out for each other. And it was just a month ago that we talked about covenant and relationship. And now we remember, Lord, why we reach out. Because you are the one that we reach out to. As we remember that covenant, that we may, Lord, stir our hearts and make that fire grow. Give us the passion that those three that were on the mountaintop with you that day, blow the flames a little bit more. As we enter into the season of Lent this week, may the passion grow even more. Just as your passion for us grew even more. We pray this now today, Lord. In your name, amen.